Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am joined with Suzanne Stavert, and Suzanne is redefining what it means to be an empty nester. 5 years ago, after her children had graduated into their adult lives, Suzanne began exploring rather than settling into a quiet midlife. She created her travel and lifestyle blog, adventuresofemptynesters.com, to share stories, inspiration, eclectic food, and to showcase hidden gems around the world. With curiosity and a desire to connect with other adventurous spirits, she has said yes to ideas that many people think are impossible, and it has brought her to places beyond her own imagination. Today, she collaborates with cutting-edge travel and tourism brands, sharing her signature enthusiasm and eye-catching photography to inspire others to plan their own adventures. Last year, Suzanne has partnered with Colette Travel on the Cultural Treasures of Japan tour, China Southern Airlines, and Tourism Authority of Thailand. Last summer, she took an unusual and fantastic journey to Italy and Spain, finishing with a hosted Viking cruise down the Elbe River from Berlin to Prague. Suzanne and her husband Craig live in sunny Southern California with their rescue pup, Rocco. Suzanne, welcome to the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
And Suzanne, I consider you a friend.
Yes.
And we've lived in the same city for a couple years, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful Pasadena. Now, mm-hmm. How did we meet? Because we did not meet in Pasadena. We met somewhere else.
We did. We met for the first time at actually my very first blogging conference in San Jose, California. Do you remember?
Right.
That was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
It was just when I started the blog and truly had no idea what I was doing. And I met you and you were delightful and we've been friends ever since.
Yes, right. We've even gone on a walk together, right? With the dog.
And we met
for coffee a few times and all that. And now I'm in Vancouver. You're still in Pasadena, but you're rarely in Pasadena because you travel all over the world, just like I shared right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to ask you a question I ask every guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
What do I enjoy during my me time? Well, the first thing that comes to mind would be reading. Mm. I am a voracious reader, and that is something that I feel that not only improves my mind, but improves my heart and my vocabulary, and it's great for my writing as well. I also love to walk my dog, Rocco. He is such a great calorie burner. He needs 3 miles, whether it's raining or sunny.
Right.
And so I love that time. Sometimes I listen to podcasts like yours and others. Other times I just am alone with my thoughts, which I really do enjoy. And then lastly, I love to cook. I kind of put cooking down for a while after the kids had left the house and grown up, and I just wasn't as into it. And now I've kind of gone back to it and I really enjoy it. I really focus on it. I love to make soups. I love to bake a lot, although the baking part's hard because there's no one to eat the baked goods. So
right.
I pretty much only do the baking at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Wonderful. Yeah. So it's so good to hear that you have me time, right? So that your work is so cool, right? Because you travel and you get paid to travel a lot of times, right?
I do.
And to go on these tours and to do all this kind of stuff. And then you write about your adventures.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly what is happening over here. And sometimes it's exhausting and then other times it's exhilarating.
Yeah. Wow. You know, this is really cool because it's kind of like, you know, what I was really intrigued by when I met you was the fact that, you know, you hit midlife and the kids were leaving the nest. Mm-hmm. And now you weren't just like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? My life is over and, you know, there's nothing else to look forward to. And wah, wah, wah. No, you like were like, what? What was your...
Well, it's you're telling the story really well. And actually, what exactly happened is the kids were gone. My husband was traveling and I was kind of lost and I didn't quite know what to do about it. So I started writing about it, and I had had a blog before, a couple of years before, a health and wellness blog. So I was familiar with blogging and I was familiar with the feeling of what it felt like to write about your feelings and tell a story. And so I started writing about the empty nest, essentially just about how challenging it can be and how, you know, it just doesn't happen to me. It happens to a lot of different empty nesters, and they're really trying to find themselves at this time in their life. And I was sharing, you know, things that I was doing that were working well. I was sharing things that I really needed help with. And then what happened is my husband started traveling a whole lot more. And so I had to make a decision. And that was either stay home and be by myself or start to travel with him. So my writing evolved there into much more travel focused writing. I still write about the empty nest, but not nearly as much as my travel. And I'm really hoping that all of my travel stories really inspire other empty nesters, other people in midlife and their kids and their parents. I kind of have a big audience now that goes from really my kids' age all the way up to my parents' age. So everyone wants to find adventure in one way or another. And that's what I hope to inspire people to do with Adventures of Empty Nesters. Mm,
yeah, well, it's true. And I really love your blog. And I was kind of, you know, following you throughout the process of, you know, you mm-hmm. writing about Empty Nest, and then it kind of moved into traveling. So that was really cool and interesting to kind of watch that happen. And so you just got back from Iceland, right?
I did.
First time to Iceland?
Oh my gosh. Yes, it was absolutely my first time to Iceland. And we went with a company called Colette. They're a 100-year-old travel company based in Rhode Island. And this time my husband went with me, and it was really an incredible experience. It was a week-long tour. And in addition to touring Iceland, which is another part of this conversation, we actually filmed the tour that we were on. And we traveled with two photographers in addition to the actual tour group. We traveled with them and we filmed literally morning through night all about this extraordinary tour and just showed what it was like really inside of a tour. Plus, Iceland is the most magnificent country I have ever seen. Mm. The landscape is unlike anything you've ever seen in your life. It's like walking on the moon. It's like walking in the mountains. The waterfalls are taller than Niagara Falls, taller than Victoria Falls. They are just, it takes your breath away. I know that sounds trite, but it does. It absolutely takes your breath away.
I haven't heard anyone who visited Iceland and had a bad experience. I mean, people go back, right?
It's kind of easy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we traveled there in the wintertime, which it is not for the weak. It is for the adventurous, I would say. But I'll tell you what, I would endure any amount of rain, snow, sleet, wind in order to go to Iceland tomorrow. It was that glorious. Mm. I just loved it. Mm-hmm.
So besides Iceland, what are some other memorable trips that come to mind in the past couple of years that you've been on? You've been everywhere.
I know.
And for those listening, follow Suzanne's Instagram because, you know, even if you are not traveling right now for whatever reason, you can go on these adventures with her through her pictures, through her blog, and also through her, you know, videos and live stuff like that. So that's really cool. What is your Instagram handle again?
My handle is just my whole name, @SuzanneStavert.
Okay.
And the beauty of Instagram is that maybe you're not planning a trip now, or maybe you're just on a fantasy tour looking at other people's photos. That's what I do. I love to see what other people are doing and their trips as well and get inspired by what they're doing. As far as other trips, let's see. Last year, I visited 10 countries, believe it or not, in 9 months. It was a really busy year.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I did everything from, I visited Japan for the first time on a Cultural Treasures of Japan tour, where I was there for 14 days and I traveled from the east in Tokyo all the way across the main island there and then south and to Kyoto, and we went to Hiroshima. The people were incredible and kind. And again, you know, going to somewhere like Tokyo, everyone hears about how crowded it is and how unusual. And it is the most unusual city I've ever been to. The streets are crowded with people, but it wasn't a bad crowded. It was an exciting crowded. And I loved that part of it. And I thought the people were incredible. Additionally, I did something very unique. We did a multi-generational trip with my parents, both of our kids and their significant others, and then my husband and myself. And we traveled to Italy in an area called Tuscany to attend a horse race called the Palio. And the Palio is a very old horse race where the riders ride bareback. It is kind of crazy. There's no rules. And it takes place in the center of a city called Siena, where they cover the entire brick city center in dirt and they make a track out of it. And it is unlike anything we'd ever witnessed. And we ended up taking all of us to experience this together, and it worked out great. You know, you never know when you've got multi-generations how well this is all going to work out. And oh my gosh, my parents loved hanging out with our children, and our children loved that time together. And I'll tell you, everyone's lives are so busy. You really only get together, at least in our family, because we live so far away, at holidays. You get 1 or 2 hours at a time, but to have this type of quality time with the family is just, it's fantastic. So that particular trip was especially emotional for me. We took cooking classes together. We took hikes together. We went in little cafes. We hung out in the house that we rented. It was magical, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little side note here, and yes. I'm hoping that, well, I know that you share a similar philosophy. That's why I'm going to bring it up.
Okay. But,
you know, one of the reasons why I, you know, want to help women in midlife be healthy, right, and be able to be mobile and be able to move around well and to, you know, have good fitness is so that they can travel, so that they can, mm-hmm. you know, enjoy this time of their lives and not feel like they're huffing and puffing and they have to take mm-hmm. rests. And, you know, if they want to go on a bike tour in Italy, they can do that. Their body is going to have them do that. Do you find that that's the case? I know you stay fit. You just got back from a you know, walking with your dog Rocco. Mm-hmm. So how important is exercise and fitness for you when it comes to traveling?
It's everything, I'll tell you. I'll give you an example of where this can go for me being in midlife. And then my mother, who'll be 80 this year, she is probably the most fit 79-year-old you're going to meet. And I honestly think that's life-changing for her, because you can't walk on cobblestones and up and down stairs and be able to spend that kind of time outdoors if you don't work on your own physicality. It is so important. And I love the fact that you are helping women look at this now, because you don't want to wake up when you're 75 and go, darn, if I was fitter, or if was more fit, if I had spent just that much more time working on my health and what it means to be healthy mentally and physically, I couldn't be able to do all those things I wanted to do later in life. I mean, we should not be giving up on life in our 50s. Mm. It's just, and you do see it. You see it on tours where there are people that are huffing and puffing at the back of the crowd because they can't make it. They can't even make it around the museum. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking,
right,
that kind of thing is happening. And right. I love the fact that you are out there, and you are out there waiting for those women to pay attention to themselves, and that you can assist them in this journey.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I how much I care about this demographic, right?
I know.
And, you know, I just know that, you know, they've sacrificed so much of their lives at, you know, and put their health on the back burner at the,
always,
you know. And so it's just, you know, this is the time of your life. Why do you work so hard? Why do you do all these things so that you can enjoy your life, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. really, when you're healthy and you're able to move around and you're able to keep up with the tour and you're able to mm-hmm. do all those things make you happy, right? But if it's,
well, they do.
If you can't keep up and if you have to sit all the time and you feel bad because mm-hmm. now the tour has to slow down for you, you know, things mm-hmm. like that, you know, you don't enjoy it and then you feel bad about it. And then, you know, so we should be able to enjoy these.
Absolutely. And you know, Kim, everyone doesn't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be a runner. You don't have to be a marathon runner to be a fit person. Mm-hmm. You just need to be able to focus on eating right and focus on getting the right amount of sleep. You know, I'm working on that. I have trouble sleeping. And so that is just definitely something I'm working on because sleep is so important. And, you know, just getting out every day doing something, I've kind of adjusted. I used to do more hardcore things like boot camps and things like that. And I've now evolved into Pilates and I'm really enjoying the Pilates and walking the dog and, you know, being outside with not so much of the indoors. I'm really enjoying the outdoors right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, just on the topic of health now, listeners, I want to have Suzanne back to talk about some more specific things like what it's like to travel with a spouse, you know, how you, you know, those kinds of things, traveling with children, with a girlfriend, traveling alone. But real quick, because I think it's important, because I've asked you this, you travel so much, and that's probably a reason why, you know, sleep is hard, right? Because you're on these different time zones all the time.
True.
Right. Your body's like, hey.
Hey, yeah. What did you do?
Right, right. But share with the listeners, because I've asked you this before, how you stay healthy when you travel, because there's so much eating, right? You want to hit up all the places that these different locations offer, right? You want to try this and that and whatever. Can you share with me how you're able to make sure you stay healthy while you're traveling and not kind of let yourself go completely?
Yeah, no, it's actually quite important. I'll give you a few secrets.
Okay.
One is you need to share food. If you're a germ person and that's a problem, well, then that's a whole nother topic. But I do believe in splitting meals. I think that's a great way. I think a healthy breakfast, in my opinion, a healthy breakfast is extremely important with protein, some eggs, maybe sausage, something like that with some fruit. That'll sustain you at least till maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe a snack at that point. And then dinner, I love to see people share food because what's happening, at least in America, the portion sizes have gotten so large and you feel this need to finish what's on your plate. And that's a big mistake because then you end up way overeating. Funny side note, if you look at my Instagram there, I go in phases where I'm photographing my food. I know not everyone does it, but I've been doing it way before there was Instagram. And people say to me, oh my gosh, how can you eat all of that? Well, I say, well, number one, I didn't eat all of it. Number two, maybe there are 6 people at the table and I'm photographing everyone's food, not just my meal. And, you know, oftentimes I encourage my dinner mates to order something that I wouldn't necessarily eat so I can get a photo of it because it'd be such a great photo opportunity. But I think it's important when you travel when you land, say for example, if you land in Europe and you've got an 8 or 9 hour time difference, you need to, as I say, hit the ground running. You need to get on their time zone immediately and then maybe go to bed 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And within a couple of days, you can pretty much adjust fairly quickly. And then with the food, you do need to pay attention. You can't overdo it on fried foods and those things you think, oh, I'm on vacation. I'm going to have this dessert and that dessert. And your body's going to go, wah, I don't mm-hmm. like this. You know, I'm not right. used to this. So you don't want to go hog wild on the volume of food because you're going to make yourself sick. And that's a whole nother problem you can have when you're traveling, which you don't want to have. But it's important. It's important to take care of yourself. Plus all the walking, you know, if you can walk everywhere, walk up the stairs. If your hotel room is on the second floor, take those stairs. instead of getting in the elevator to travel one floor. I think that's a crack up. People do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime you can have the opportunity to burn a few extra calories, it's always going to help.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially after you've, you know, been on a plane for mm-hmm. 14 hours or whatever.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Even if you're tired, it's good to move your body, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm.
You have to force yourself. And I think that's hard for some people. It's like, oh, it's so much easier. Believe me, it's so much easier to sit on the couch and eat potato chips.
Exactly.
There's no question that's right. easier, right. But who said life is easy? It's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, when you see someone who's fit, you have to know how hard they have to work to do that. It doesn't come easy. And the older you get, the harder it becomes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that if you kind of get in a groove early, you are so far ahead of the game.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was on a panel last night and I made sure that I shared this with the audience, that the short-term easy leads to the long-term difficult. Where the short-term difficult leads to the long-term easy.
So I love that.
The whole point is to, you want to look for the inconvenient, right? Which is just mm-hmm. like what you're talking about. It's splitting your meal, right? It's not mm-hmm. having everything on the menu. It's taking the stairs instead of the elevator, the escalator, the mm-hmm. short-term difficult, mm-hmm. you know, even though it's difficult right now, it's going to lead to the long-term easy. And that's what we're really looking for, right? Is the long-term easy. Because as we get older, I mean, there's no doubt our body, our only one body that we have breaks down, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like a car where we can turn it in for trade it in for a new one. No. This is the only one we have. So we mm-hmm. have to really, especially if we want to travel, right? We have to really take care of ourselves best that we can.
And we need to be grateful for the body that was given to us and take care of it. We cannot take it for granted because, you know, I had knee surgery a couple of years ago, and boy, when you don't have the correct usage of your walking and standing, you really appreciate what you have. Mm-hmm. And I will definitely be careful in my future health endeavors because I want to stay healthy and be this way forever.
Right. Right. Yep. Just like your mom.
Yeah. Just like my mom. She's quite an inspiration. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's lovely. I have good genes, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So what have you learned about yourself through all of this traveling? Because I believe that when we travel, at least when I travel, just getting into a new environment, seeing different kinds of people, seeing different kinds of landscape and buildings and nature and all of that, it gives us a different perspective on life, and it gets us thinking. It builds clarity. Sometimes it helps us see the bigger picture, right? Instead of sometimes we're at home all the time and it's so easy to get bogged down into the details and all the minor stuff, right? But then when you go away, you get away, then you're able to get more clarity. You're able to learn more about yourself, understand yourself. I don't know. Those are things that I've gotten out of traveling. But what about you? What have you learned about yourself through these multiple, you know, adventures that you've been on over the last couple of years?
Well, I believe that travel enhances your life and enlarges your heart. I think, yes, I coined that. Thank you.
That's great.
I think it's important because sometimes we tend to be small-minded, and there's a very big world out there that we can get out and discover. And what I know about myself is sometimes, although I seem very outgoing, it's much easier sometimes to be quiet and read my book than it is for me to step out of my comfort zone and go and discover a new city. But what I love about travel is that it has actually helped me gain some confidence in that travel is about problem solving often. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to think quickly on your feet. You've got to be able to think over problems. And it's a great confidence builder because you realize you are capable. You are totally capable of solving an issue here and there. And I'm very grateful for that part of travel. I'm also grateful to meet all the incredible people in this world. It may sound corny, but it's not. It's so lovely to know that there are so many fantastically interesting people from a town next door to you to, you know, traveling all the way to Iceland. You get to meet people you would never meet in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's great. It's so true. It's important for us to meet other people and to see different cultures, right? Mm-hmm. And see that there are different ways to do things, not just the way that you're always around. I think that that's really important. It opens up your mind.
It does.
Yeah.
It opens up your mind, and then you learn from other people too. I like to know about what's happening in other parts of the world. You know, I don't think we just need to focus just on the United States or just in the city that you live. It's a big world out there, and everyone can help contribute to everyone else's lives. I feel like my life has been enriched so much from meeting other people and seeing other cultures and, you know, eating other food, you know, going to a local market in some little town in the middle of Thailand. I mean, I went to a floating market once where I thought that I had like died and gone to heaven. It was the coolest thing ever, because these people literally sell their produce from their tiny little plot of land from a boat in the middle of this river. Huh. And I'd seen it on, you know, National Geographic, but I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would ever be able to see it in person.
Right.
So it was lovely. Wonderful.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Someday you're going to look back at your life, Suzanne, and just be like, wow, I got to really,
I'm so fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's say, you know, someone listening doesn't have thousands of dollars to spend on a luxurious trip, nor do they have the time. They can take the time off of work to take 2 weeks off or 3 weeks or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. What are some more, I hate to say, but you know, maybe more realistic trips besides like Japan or Iceland, what does travel mean? Right. Like, I guess that's what I'm asking. How can we get travel, or, you know, how can we travel even if we maybe don't have the means or the time to go across the world?
I totally agree with you. Travel doesn't have to mean international travel. What I like to suggest is, I can bet you that there are towns or there are things in your own town that you have never bothered to go take a look at because you've been so busy in your own life. And I think maybe start small, start in your own town, make a list of the things. I'm embarrassed to tell you that in Pasadena, there are several museums I've never been to, several parks I've never been to, and those are all free. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I suggest to, you know, newbie travelers. You don't have to hop on a plane and go to Iceland. You should start small in your own community, and then maybe on a radius out somewhere you could drive to, or you could take public transportation to get there. And start that way. You don't have to, you know, go somewhere exotic to make travel worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of travel that's literally free. You don't even have to spend the night. You can go for the day. Mm-hmm. But I think people think, oh, it's not really travel. Oh, darn. Yes, it is travel. Mm. You know, anywhere that you step out of your neighborhood is travel. Mm. So that's what I suggest, is really just start small, neighborhood, your city, adjacent cities, and start there. And then I think you'll gain confidence, and perhaps you put a little money aside for a weekend trip a little further away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can go slow like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, right? There's so much around us, and we always think that we have to maybe go somewhere, you know, really far away
for a time. Or exotic, or right. Doesn't have to be.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's easy to believe when we go on Instagram and, you know, we see people going all these different places. Now, you're a different example, right? Because this is what you do for work, right? So
correct.
People expect that. But
correct.
When we see that, oh my gosh, we think, oh, everybody's in the Bahamas all the time, and, you know, and all this kind of
stuff. I know. And you know, people need to forget, not to forget that, yes, that person may be in the Bahamas, but maybe it's the one trip that they planned and they've been planning it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take that away from them. Mm-hmm. As far as someone who's like me and a travel writer, you have to understand that people don't just hand me trips because I'm a nice person. They they ask me on these to write about their brand and their experience for a reason. I've built this reputation. I've built this career. And, you know, travel's not that easy. It looks all glamorous all the time, but it's not. You know, the rest of the tour is taking a nap and I'm upstairs on social media, you know, about this trip, you know? And so I wish people didn't feel like they had to judge when they look at social media, that they just take it at face value. And if there's a beautiful spot that someone went, that you're just happy that person got to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe it can inspire you to be like, oh, that looks like an interesting place that I might want to take a look at.
Even read about, not necessarily have to travel to, not every cool place I see on Instagram I want to go to.
Right.
You know, I'd love to just read about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so last thing I want to ask you is, okay, so on the other hand, there's traveling close to home. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, there is traveling far away, like you've traveled. So let's end with this question, which is, for those who are going to go on a big trip, and they don't go on big trips very often, maybe they go once a year or once every other year or something like that, right? Any practical tips? You've already shared a few when it comes to, you know, trying to get on the schedule, whatever time zone that is, try to get on the schedule. Also, don't eat everything that you see, right? Because it could be also different cultures have different kinds of food and not all the food will agree with your stomach necessarily if you're used to eating a certain kind of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you know, take the stairs instead of the elevator, you know, things like that. Make sure you walk a lot. Mm-hmm. Any other practical tips that you can think of for any ladies that are going to be traveling somewhere new?
Yes, I actually have written a couple posts on travel tips that if you go into the search box on my website, you can type in travel tips. And I've got another one in the works about packing. But I'll tell you a couple little things. I think the biggest lifesaver of all is if you have a flight in the morning, let's say Monday morning, you need to be completely packed and powered down, all of your electronics put away, your passport is ready, your shoes and your outfit is laid out and ready to go. You don't need to think in the morning. You may be nervous and you need to have that all laid out and done for you ahead of a time. Leave nothing to chance, number one. Number two, keep an extra copy of your passport somewhere else in your backpack and or in your suitcase. That is also helpful. Bring a hat. Always need a hat. You need a ball you need a ball cap. You need another type of hat for rain or for sunshine. Always bring your sunscreen, of course. Let's see, things I've learned. I'm trying to think of what else. Like this is just all off the top of my head. I also like to bring a little notebook where I can jot down, you know, maybe things I've learned or just something about the trip that I want to make sure that I remember. And I think even for a non-travel writer, it's awesome to at least keep a little journal of what's happening. You don't have to put down every single thing you do during the day, but I love that idea. So for posterity,
there you go.
You can look back on your trip and remember those little details. Maybe it was the older gentleman you met on the street, or maybe it was the unusual piece of fruit that you ate in the market. You know, those kind of little tidbits you might want to keep in a notebook.
Great tips. Thank you. And then you said if you go to your website, which is adventuresofemptynesters.com, you can go to the search bar and you can look up tips for traveling and things like that. And you're working on a tips for packing.
I am.
Oh, great.
I am.
Great. All right, Suzanne, thank you so much. Like I said earlier, I want to have you back to talk specifically about traveling solo, traveling with a spouse, and then traveling multi-generationally, and maybe just some tips about those types of things.
Okay.
They might be helpful as, you know, like I know that my clients, they either, you know, they like to travel alone or they'll travel with a girlfriend, right? And and so, you know, things like how, I don't know, you know, we'll talk more about that, which I would love to talk about with you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So thanks again for coming on to the Me Time Midlife Podcast, Suzanne.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it very much. I appreciate you very much. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Suzanne. If you find the Me Time Midlife Podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more me time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife Community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.